know these things.
Oh.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1, $2, $3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Coming up on 4 past 3 here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Back to the future, or was it a blip on the radar? The Iowa basketball team got their first victory of the year last night in the Big Ten Conference at Illinois. We will talk about that amongst ourselves, amongst you out there, with Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, who was in Champaign covering that for us. And also, we will have the Carl Nerney's Pick 6. All that coming up on the Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Well, hello everyone, and welcome into the Gym Class for a Friday. Another chilly one in eastern Iowa. So we take it through the 3 o'clock hour here today. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann back with us. We are at full strength today as we get ready to take you through a Friday. Local programming up through 7 o'clock tonight. And then at 7:30, we've got high school basketball coming your way tonight. Pair of good games. 1600 a.m. at 7:30, Cedar Rapids Prairie entertaining the Waterloo East Trojans. And at 7:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, it'll be girls MVC basketball. Thank you, sir. It'll be Cedar Rapids, Washington at Iowa City West. And that will be at 7:30 tonight as well. Coming your way right here on KGYM. And Mark, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to the listeners out there. Again, drive carefully out there. A few slick spots, but for the most part, everything pretty much back to normal as far as driving in eastern Iowa is concerned. We'll look back at Iowa's win last night over Illinois. We're going to do that with Jeremiah Davis coming up here in just a little bit. Love to hear your thoughts on it. Are the Hawks, did they find something last night? Love to hear from you out there at 319-366-1600. That is the Hurtine at Stocker Jewelers text line. Again, 319-366-1600, Hurtine and Stocker Jewelers. They are located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. And after the first 20 minutes of that game last night, Mark, I was a little skeptical that we would see that comeback that Iowa put together last night, but they did, and credit the Hawkeyes. They finally got off the schneid last night.
Well, they indeed did, and at halftime I was torn whether to turn over to the Tonya Harding story.
I missed it.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to stick with this for a little bit, see what happens. And I will put together a very, very good half. And a lot of the focus has been on the offense, and it was very good. But to me, it was really predicated on the defense. Iowa gave up 54 points in the second half, 36 in the second, and got some steals, some turnovers, got Illinois in foul trouble. Iowa shot free throws very well, got a terrific performance off the bench from Luca Garza and Kreener, I thought.
Kreener played very well last night.
And Bo Hannon was terrific. Cook was terrific. For a while, I didn't think Trent Frazier would miss a shot all night from Illinois. He was making everything in the first half. And LaRon Black is a load underneath. But at the end of the day, Iowa gets an overtime victory over the only winless team left in the Big Ten.
Well, you kind of kidded.
What does that tell you?
Well, we kind of kidded around yesterday saying that this may, you know, probably is going to be the best game of the year in the Big Ten Conference. And it wasn't bad. It kept you entertained, I think, if you were just, you know, channel surfing last night.
You stuck with it.
Yeah, and a college basketball fan. I think it kept you entertained last night, 104-97. Now, granted, yeah, did Iowa get better defensively? Yeah, they went zone basically the entire second half. Little 2-3 that kind of morphed into a 1-3-1 at times. They were active out there. They had big guys at the top of the zone at times. Got some deflections. You know, did things defensively. They helped out a little bit better. Now, Illinois helped out by not shooting quite as well in the second half. Yeah, granted, that helps quite a bit when the other team is helping you out in that situation. But The other thing, offensively for Iowa, they got the transition game going for the first time in a long time in the Big Ten. And the one thing that really struck me was it wasn't just Jordan Bohannon bringing the ball up every time at, you know, just walking it up. It was Macy Daly bringing it up. Tyler Cook brought it up. Everybody brought the ball up and was pushing the tempo. And maybe they found something at halftime, or they just said, you know what? We have nothing to lose. We're down by 20 on the road, and we're 0 for the year. Let's just go out there and throw caution to the wind and just play like we would play in the primetime league. And maybe that's what it took.
To me, it still comes down to defense, which I talked about in the second half that Iowa played. When Iowa plays decent defense, that just blends into better offense, I think. Defense is hard. And generally speaking, most basketball players don't really want to play defense. In your Wednesday over 40 league, does anybody play defense?
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody really want to play defense?
There are a few that play very good defense.
Come on.
They played good defense in their playing days, too, so it just kind of blends over a little bit. But I understand what you're saying.
Defense is not most players' favorite thing to do. And playing team defense is even more difficult. So Iowa did get it together, and Illinois might have had something to do with that in terms of shot selection and ball security. But it was a very, very good second half for Iowa.
Yeah. Your thoughts, 319-366-1600. Does this propel Iowa? Is it just a blip on the radar? What do you think out there? Love to hear from you on the text line. On the phone lines as well with Kyle back today at 319-366-1600. Jordan Bohannon with 29 last night. Tyler Cook was terrific. Ryan Kreener kind of took the Nicholas Bear role of a year ago to heart last night. I think Luka Garza is just getting better and better each night out. Is Iowa going to go on a 10-game winning streak now? No, I'm not saying that. But it was just nice to see competitive basketball again. And Iowa playing with a little bit of heart and with their emotions on their sleeve a little bit, as it were, last night.
I want to get folks' thoughts out there about the end of regulation. I was up by 3. The ball is in the hand of Trent Frazier, who's made all kinds of shots all night. Why don't you foul?
Well, that's the biggest question in all of basketball. Should you foul in that situation? And, you know, Fred Hoiberg put it best. He was in under the camp that, no, I'm not going to foul. I'm going to make him make a basket. And then Iowa State lost in that particular fashion. I believe to Kansas. And changed his mind. Now does Fran McCaffrey change his mind? Yeah. Iowa won the game, but did you have a feeling when that ball went in on the runner at the buzzer?
It was going to be a problem.
That it was going to be. No, did you just, oh, here we go again. And it's going to be an overtime loss. But Iowa scored the first 9, and Illinois was never in it in overtime.
I mean, you foul Frazier there or anybody else, it requires them to make one and get the rebound and knock it back in with under 4 seconds left, right?
True, yeah.
Nicholas, and isn't that more unlikely than somebody throwing in a 3 like Frazier did?
True.
I don't know.
Nicholas Bear did the right thing earlier on. He committed a foul because Iowa had a foul to give. But the second one he committed, he definitely did not want to commit. Trust me on that one. Did not want to put Illinois at the line with the clock stopped and a chance for the Illini to close it to within 1 at that point. And Iowa, for the most part, hit free throws last night down the stretch. Hit free throws for the game as well. 3-1, by the way, Scott Dochterman, will credit him with this stat. Since the name change from Assembly Hall to State Farm Center, Iowa is now 3-1 in Champaign, Illinois. They were 1 for about 2 decades at Assembly Hall. So see what happens when you change the name of your place. Not good things happen.
I should change the names of a lot of places.
We should change the name of a bowling alley. lane, anyway. Not May City. Keep that, but maybe go with something else as far as our 2 lanes are concerned.
I'd love to hear folks' reasoning out there as to why you don't foul in the last couple seconds there. Yes, it's immaterial now. Iowa won the game in overtime, but had Iowa lost in overtime, I think a lot more people would be talking about that. Maybe I don't understand the game and the philosophy quite right, but I've been around enough games. I think I would have fouled.
I think I would have too, but that's definitely would have put a little bit more heat on the young man. So 319-366-1600, what do you think out there about the win last night, about the Iowa basketball team? Would you have fouled there at the end to prevent them, to prevent Illinois from getting off a three-point shot, make them do something out of their comfort zone, miss a free throw, get a rebound, get a put back, which is very, very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to do. If you've ever tried that. First of all, I've always noticed that you try to miss a free throw and you make the stupid thing.
That's true, too.
That's the first problem because you're not thinking about it. Oh, it's going to go in. Dang it. It goes in, and then you're being yelled at by said coach in the sideline out there. Again, 319-366-1600. We've got other things going on. We'll have the pick six coming up. We'll talk with Jeremiah Davis here in just a little bit at 14 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Also, we'll update you on what's happening at Wailea. Zach Johnson on the course right now in the second round of the Sony Open in Hawaii.
Took a share of the first round lead with a 7-under par 63 yesterday in the Sony Open, which he's won before. Today on the course, he's just kind of trotting along. He's even par through 13 holes. He played the back nine first. He had two birdies, two bogeys. And right now, he is tied for fifth. Excuse me. Brian Harman, the leader at minus 12. Zach at minus 7.
I like Brian Harman for tomorrow, Mark. We've had him the last 2 years, man. I think we should make it a threefer out there. All right, very good. Let's go to John in Cedar Rapids. He is up first today about fouling at the end. Hi, John.
How's it going today, guys?
Doing great. How are you?
Not too bad. The one point I wanted your input on this. With more time on the clock, I would think you would almost want to foul to prevent them getting a quality three-pointer. With less time, I could see where you just let them go ahead and try a half court three. If it goes, it goes. But with, what was it, like 4.5 seconds left on the clock, I think?
Yeah, it was nearly 5 seconds.
I mean, it still gives them a chance to, get three or four quality dribbles down the court and pull up for a three, a decent look at a three. I just don't understand not fouling. I mean, you put them on the line. If they make the first one, they have to intentionally miss the second one. And then they have to do it perfect to get a put back up to tie the game.
True.
It just makes more sense to me to actually foul with that much time left on the clock.
I think it's a very valid statement right there, John, and I would agree with you. If there's a second left, no, you don't want to foul. If they're going the entire length of the court like Illinois had to do, but give the young man credit. He hoofed it up the floor very quickly in that situation.
Oh, yeah. He did everything he had to do perfectly, so it worked.
Yeah.
Good for him, but just with that much time on the clock, where they can get down the court and get a shot, I just think it makes more sense to foul.
I agree.
And be careful not to make it an intentional foul, too.
Right, of course.
Hey, John, appreciate the call.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet.
317. Who's next on the line? Kevin Lehman. What does he know about things?
I think he knows quite a bit about things. It's a repeat performance from our man, Kevin Lehman. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing good, guys. I want to weigh in on that fouling when you're up three at the end of a game.
Yes.
Yeah. What would you do in when you were coaching, when you were on the staffs? What was your thinking?
Well, when I joined Eldon Miller's staff, we'd already had the three-point line in high school when I coached at Dowling, so we knew what you needed to do. And he asked me when that three-point line came, I said, Coach, you got to have three things. You got to be able to, if you're down three, you need a play to get you a three. And you've got to be willing to foul 5 seconds or less when you're up three and put them at the line. And Eldon Miller said to me, we'll never do that. Mm-hmm. About the third time somebody threw one in and put it in overtime, he walked at me and said, okay, we'll do it your way. But here's the problem you run into, and this is what Fran McCaffrey, after the game, Macy Daly was told to foul.
Oh, okay.
In that situation. Yeah, he was told to foul, but your players are trained not to foul. It's in their mind. So the difficult part of that is getting your player to do it. And Macy Daly is I listened to Fran's postgame. You hesitate because you're afraid that you're going to get a foul in the shooting motion and give up the four-point play.
Exactly.
Or, as Scott, you said, it's intentional. So players then tend to back off and not do what you ask them to do in that situation. And you can't, I mean, you can't fault them for that, because the worst disaster is that four-point play. And we've seen strange things happen at Illinois. So I can see why Macy Daley had backed off in that situation. And remember back when Steve Alford was at Iowa? I think they got missed the free throw at Indiana and got the rebound and scored.
Yes.
Get that game into overtime.
Yep. Doesn't happen very often, though.
Well, I'll give you the stats on it, Scott, because Nick Nurse, who's now with Toronto, he did a study on it and sent it to me. The chances of losing a game if you foul when you're up three less than 5 seconds is 5%.
Wow.
The chance of it going to overtime was somewhere around 70% that somebody's going to throw a three ball in. So his study showed that, yes, you need to foul. But, again, the problem is, will your players do it for you? Because I've had many situations where they were told to foul, and just like Macy Daley, they back off and then decide not to.
That's great perspective, Kevin.
Well, I know that Fred Hoiberg's a believer now.
Yeah, it's one of the tough things that, you know, that with that 3-point line, it really adds some intrigue to the end of a game.
Like we said, we had a feeling last night's game was going to be one of the best in the Big Ten this year, even though they hadn't won a game between the two teams yet.
Yeah, I kind of thought maybe Illinois' arms got tired the second half because they'd shot so well in the first half.
Yeah, no doubt. But Fran and the staff are going to take that win, no doubt. Yeah.
Oh, no question. And, you know, I really liked when you're down 20 on the road, we talked about the character of these guys that he's got, and that really showed through, and that they stuck with it, made the plays they needed to down the stretch and to win that game.
Very much so. Hey, Kevin, appreciate it. Thanks, man. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys.
Kevin Lehman joins us on Thursdays on the Gym Class on KGYM to talk some college basketball.
319-366-1600 is our Hurtin & Stocker Jeweler text line and our phone line. Kyle, busy today. 15:45, Iowa fouled twice before the final Illini shot at the end of regulation. I was shocked Iowa did not foul then. Lower percentage of winning free throws.
They meant to foul once. Nicholas Bear did not mean to foul the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Meant to foul that first time for sure.
17:53, give Iowa credit for coming back. But Fran needs to get away from still playing the guy, and several different texts here. I'm trying to piece it together. Sorry
okay.
about that.
That's fine.
Needs to pick 7 or 9 guys and stick with them. You get guys who don't play with each other, then there's no flow in the offense and of defense. And, yes, you do always foul up three with less than 7 seconds left.
All right. Very good. Very good. 319-366-1600 at 321 before we get to a break. And talk with Jeremiah Davis, and we're going to get to the pick six coming up. Our friend Wally joining us here after Hawkeye win. Hi, Wally.
Hi. Hey, I kind of agree with Kevin. You know, I thought, you know, like, well, why didn't he foul? But that was after the fact. And then I thought, well, maybe he told them to, and they just got caught up in the moment. But I'm sure, knowing what kind of coach McCaffrey is, he probably looked at every one of those guys in the eyes and said, if you're going to foul, do it before he crosses the half court line. You know, I want you to foul him, but you've got to foul him before he crosses the half court line, because they're really not going to throw up a three from, you know, 70 feet.
Right.
Then you got the scenario where the guy has to shoot, make one and then miss one. And Iowa's got every one of their players, you know, surrounding the basket. That's a tough play to make. But okay, now that I said that, I got a trivia question, and it's directed to you, Scott. Since you guys talk about May City Lane and everything, I got quite a bit of history with that bowling alley. Okay, don't help me, Mark.
Okay.
Who was the owner of May City Lanes, and where did he coach high school basketball where he won a state championship before he came to May City Lanes? And who was the Jefferson High School basketball coach at that same time?
I know.
Well, I know who's owning it now. But,
no, who owned it back then? Back in the...
I don't know.
I guess I should have made the date. Okay.
It was one Ben Trickey, and he won a state title at Marshalltown.
Very good, very good.
How about that?
And then who was the Jefferson coach?
Gay Don.
I knew that part. I knew that. Awesome. I knew.
Good.
I knew Gay Don. I knew that one.
All right, that's it.
Thanks.
I'm done.
Thanks, Wally. Appreciate it.
Hey, just don't hire anybody for the show, okay?
324. I knew Jeff Don's dad was coaching Jefferson.
Chris James, local coach, weighing in on the subject. 93.50. Concern is if you haven't practiced it, you could potentially foul them as they attempted three if they hear you yell foul. Big thing, you have to practice those situations daily.
Absolutely. And I know coaches go through late game situations. Chris does. Everybody does. It's just kind of the norm a couple times a week as far as practice is concerned, because you got to go through it, like Kevin mentioned, like Chris just talked about.
You have to practice those like Chris practices golf, right?
Chris probably played last week. 324. We will take a break, come back, and Jeremiah Davis is going to join us. We will talk about last night's Iowa-Illinois game and more with Jeremiah after this. You're listening to the Gym Class, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM.
Welcome back, Hawkeyes. Iowa Book's goal this week is to make your shopping easy. Iowa Book has added extra staff, extra cash registers, and is open extra hours. Come in early and save money by choosing less expensive used or rental textbooks. Iowa Book also has all your necessary school supplies and Hawkeye gear. Iowa Book is open this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday till 6 o'clock. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol since 1920.
Iowa Book! One-of-a-kind bookstore.
Get out of the cold and warm up with some hot stove baseball. The Cedar Rapids Colonels will host the 22nd annual Hot Stove Banquet Wednesday, January 17th at the East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. Enjoy dinner, a silent auction, and a special visit from the Minnesota Twins Winter Caravan, featuring former Colonels and current Twins Mitch Garver and Zach Granite, along with radio broadcaster Chris Atterbury. Tickets are $45 and all proceeds benefit the Colonels Take the Lead Community Initiative Program and the Colonels Foundation. Get your tickets now at colonels.com.
It's always more fun to be with friends as you cheer on your favorite team. Whether attending the game, watching at a bar, or hosting a party, it's very important to know that fans don't let fans drive drunk. Before choosing to drink, choose your team's MVP, a sober designated driver. Avoid the unsportsmanlike conduct of driving drunk by handing off your keys so that you, your passengers, and everyone on the road can be safe. Your team victory will only be worth celebrating if you and your friends make it home. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the Gym Class with UNASH and Dukes. KGYM.
Mark's riling up the over 40 league.
Somebody's just in your league responding on the text line.
I told you that they play defense.
Okay. All right.
Now, as the evening progresses, maybe not quite as stellar, but that's my case anyway when I'm there. 327 here on the program. We're going to talk to Jeremiah Davis coming up here momentarily. High school basketball coming up tonight. I will be at Prairie along with Phil Dunn. Prairie hosting Waterloo East and boys basketball. That'll be on 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM tonight. Girls MVC basketball, the Washington Warriors, and Iowa City West. Thank you, Kyle. That comes your way tonight at 7:30. So Chris is on his way to get ready for that game.
Phil Dunn would have followed, wouldn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course, back, trying to think. Oh, yeah, there was a three-point line back then. No problem with that. All right, Iowa got a win last night. Apropos that we talked to Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can follow him on Twitter. You can also follow him as well at thegazette.com. And a guy that got more FaceTime than a lot of the players did last night, man. Yeah, you were right back there. You had a good seat last night, courtside at I still call it Assembly Hall.
Yeah, it's apparently you more than one person spotted me. I got several text messages and tweets, which I was having a better hair night because I didn't like how my hair looked, man. I tell you what,
I thought you looked fine. I thought you looked great.
Oh, thanks.
I thought you looked great. Well, we've been asking everybody, besides the fact, do you foul at the end of games like that? The other thing we've been asking was, is that the real Iowa basketball team everyone's been waiting to see this year, or was it a blip on the radar in that second half? I guess your thoughts about it.
Well, that's a great question, and it's the story I wrote today.
Yep.
I posted that around noon. That's the million-dollar question. Is last night the exception, or is last night the rule? I don't have an answer for you yet. I think that the potential, like the what this team is capable of and has always been capable of, is what we saw in the second half last night. It's just whether or not they can put it all together. Maybe they just had to see themselves do it once. I know that sounds like coach speak, and I know it's something Fran said a lot last year about having to go through it. But you know, there clearly was some sort of mental block or some sort of self-fulfilling prophecy that these guys were meeting in the last several games, where they just were all following the same pattern. And last night, the start of last night, looked the exact same. You know, it was the same stuff over and over. But they came out of it, and I think that's for a young team, because yes, they are young. They're young humans. Whether or not they played a lot of basketball, they're young kids. And for them to go through something like that and just see it happen is very, very important. Not to mention the fact that you have a guy in Luka Garza who, you know, finally felt like it clicked for him, and that he was using his body the way he needs to use it without, because he's not a quick player. And the way he used his body and the way he played last night, I think, is the way they need him to play so that Tyler Cook can have at least some relief and they can get going more consistently on offense.
From the Iowa side of things, Jeremiah, what was the biggest difference you saw in the two halves? I tried to make an argument that I thought it might be the defense.
I would be with you. I mean, other than everything.
Yeah, yeah.
From the first half to the second half, the zone was active. And I've written this before, and I've said this before, that for whatever reason, for this team, offense creates defense. I know it's supposed to be the other way around. Defense is supposed to create offense. But when this team is going offensively, it's like their attitude lifts, and they're more willing to go down and get a stop because they just got a score. They want to get another one. And it's reversed from how it should be, but that's just how this team operates. At least that's how they're doing it right now. And when things started going offensively, they're like, okay, let's go get another one. And the zone was active. The 2-3 zone was very good for most of the second half, and that's not something that they've been able to say for probably a month and a half. So, I mean, you know, 3-point defense still needed work. There were a couple open shots, but it felt like once they turned away a couple of things that Illinois had been able to get in the first half, the Illini just sort of froze up and didn't know what else to do. And some simple things that Iowa was doing just had Illinois all kinds of sideways. So it's not really any one thing specifically, but the defense at least was active and crashed the boards, and that's more than you could say for a lot of the games that they're playing recently.
To me, what helped, I think, in the second half was you had, whether it was a plan or whether it just happened, I don't know, but it was, we've seen a lot just Jordan Bohannon bringing the ball up. Everybody was contributing, bringing the ball up and getting other people into the offense and moving quickly. When I was in transition, it's no secret they're a better basketball team than they are in the half court, but I just picked that up in the second half as far as my things I jotted down last night, and I thought that was a big help to this team.
Without a doubt. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that this team, when they're moving, it doesn't matter if it's in transition or in the half court, when this team moves, everything's better. And to your point, to expand on your point a little bit, in the second half, guys were moving away from the ball. In the first half, when the ball stopped and it felt like either Macy Daley or Jordan Bohannon, because it wasn't just when Jordan was running the point, when the ball stopped, it was because everybody else was standing and watching. In the second half, everybody was moving. They were setting screens away from the ball. They were getting open, or they were working harder to get open, I should say. And that just makes everything easier, because I still believe Jordan Bohannon is the best option at point guard. I don't think he's out of position. I know that goes contrary to what a lot of people think, but when he gets help, from those other guys, just in terms of movement and getting open, everything is easier. Because you can't ask a guy, anybody, unless you're a transcendent talent, you can't ask one player to control everything all the time, and whether or not he can shoot the lights out of it or not. And so everything just sort of opened up, I thought.
Jim, I thought Ryan Kriener, I think Ryan Kriener is an interesting piece to this team because when he's playing well, he can be very disruptive and aggressive in the middle. Granted, he's had games where he's looked awful, but he had a nice contribution last night.
For sure. I think that was one of the two catalysts of the game, and I wrote about my takeaways right after the game, where with him and Garza coming in and offering something other than Tyler in the front court, that was it again. It was sort of the rising tide for everything. And Kriener's had a rough go of it. You're right. He had said something last night. It didn't make either of my stories, but he had said that he struggled personally a little with some physical things since his concussion. But he missed the concussion game against Penn State. And he missed the Indiana game and got hit in the face again in the next game after that. So I think it's taken him a little while to get back to 100% just personally. And I think unless he was using that as something convenient to cover up his struggles, it looked like the case last night. I thought he was out of the rotation. I thought he was someone who didn't need to see the court because of the way he had played. But if he can offer what he did last night, his activity on the boards, I think, is particularly of note. The way he can use his body to, in positioning to fight for those rebounds. He's only going to see those 12 to 15 minutes, but if he can make the most of them, he has very much has tremendous value for the team.
Well, I was just going to ask you about the rotation because it seems to be a ever-moving tide, if you will. And last night it was, for the most part, kind of 8.5. Cordell Pemsel didn't even play a whole lot last night. Kriener kind of took some of his minutes. But, Brady Ellingson doesn't play for two games, and then he gets 12 minutes last night. I tried Ahmad Wagner. I still can't figure out the Jack Nungy situation. You see him 25 minutes, and then you see him 2 minutes for a few games. And it is kind of a head-scratcher, isn't it?
If somebody else can make sense of it, let me know.
I can't.
I don't know how to figure it out. Everybody, people ask me those questions too, and I'm like, I'm not sure what to tell you. Because I asked Fran last night after the game, I was like, you felt like you shortened your rotation in the second half. Is that a sign of things to come, or was it something else? And he looked at me and kind of like stared a hole through me, and he said, we still played 10 guys. We didn't shorten the rotation at all. And I was like, and I wanted to be like, Fran, come on. You played 7 guys for the most part, most of the second half. Yes, 10 guys did play in the second half, but it was fleeting. Ahmad Wagner didn't play until the very end when he was switching offense for defense. So, to me, and I'm not a basketball coach. I don't want to tell Fran McCaffrey how to do his job because I just write about it. But it just seems like everything is easier when there are only 8 guys playing. Ahmad Wagner and Brady Ellingson aren't contributing things that are of tremendous value to the team. Kriener wasn't until last night, and Jack Nungy has... maybe it's a freshman thing that he's going through, but he's lost. You put him on the court, and he doesn't know what to do. He's hesitant. With Ellington, it looks like he's relieved when he comes off the floor. So what's the purpose of putting them out there if they're not going to contribute or one end of the floor is a tremendous liability? Ahmad Wagner's role in this team was supposed to be a defensive guy and a rebound guy, and he's not done either one of those things with consistency. So why should he be on the floor? I mean, I don't want to rag on the guy, but this is high-level competition. And if you aren't contributing in the way you need to, other guys will. So I'm not sure. I don't know. Fran is going to stick to his plan. He's not going to let anybody sway him from that. And, until players either leave or graduate, I think we're going to be asking and trying to answer this question.
Jeremiah Davis, Iowa basketball beat writer for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joining us on the Gym Class 338. And Iowa basketball is the Kurt Busch. Likens it to Kurt Busch of NASCAR, huh?
Yeah. You like that analogy, Mark?
I do once you read the you read the explanation.
It's I mean, I sort of put it as, I took it as like this year plus, you know, the last, you know, probably two or three decades where, you know, Kurt Busch is a guy who he won a championship and then kind of disappeared and is sort of back, but not really, has a little bit of a temper issue. And, you know, Iowa has followed kind of that same arc. And so, I don't know, I loved that question that I got. It's a lot of fun for me when my two worlds cross over.
Yeah, that was in response to a Twitter question that Jeremiah got. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was too. And well, now the question is, can Iowa build on this? They get a week, basically, to get ready to go to Rutgers. And then Purdue will come calling a week from tomorrow in the Chris Street game at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. So a little time, I guess, if you were... probably had your druthers, you'd probably want to get out in the court right away and play again, but they're going to have 6 days to think about it.
I agree on that. I think that they, all things being equal, I think they would love to be playing Sunday. But, you know, then again, maybe this extra time will give them enough time to get in the film room and dissect the things from the Illinois game that were bad, because there were plenty. There was plenty that was bad. And then catch them being good, too. You know, Jordan Bohannon, his shot was very good last night, and I thought he was a good facilitator. I know he had a couple turnovers, but, you know, the way they worked together last night, I think, is a good, certainly a good thing to build on. And going to Rutgers, I think, if you're going to go on the road again after this, going to Rutgers is a pretty good place to go if you're going to follow up and try to get a second straight road win.
Although Rutgers is playing better. So
they are.
Can't
they
dismiss
are.
Them.
Oh no, I'm not trying to dismiss them at all. I just think compared to going to Michigan State or going to Indiana or, you know, somewhere that is a really tough road environment, you know, it'll be less of a hostile environment, maybe, yeah. Put it that way.
We're at the 1/3 pull in the Big Ten here before we leave basketball with you, Jeremiah. And two-part question. First of all, at this point, how many teams would you think the Big Ten would get in the big dance? And who's been the most surprising and the most disappointing team? And maybe you're around the most disappointing team. I don't know.
Well, at this point, I can say three teams for sure deserve, you know, or we're going to be in a very serious conversation for the tournament. Obviously, Michigan State, Purdue, and then Ohio State. And I'll stick with Ohio State for my most surprising team. I don't think any of us thought that they were going to be this solid. I mean, the way they've played in the last couple weeks has been phenomenal. They destroyed Michigan State, and I didn't think anybody was going to get close to doing that in the Big Ten. I think the most disappointing team, considering expectations and considering the whole view of things, it's got to be Iowa. Because,
well, I say it might be Northwestern.
Yeah, but Northwestern's dealt with some injuries, this could be proximity bias too, because a lot of us in this area were very bullish on Iowa, and for good reason, or at least we thought it was good reason coming into the season, and for them to take that step up and then not do that, thinking they were going to take that step up and not do that, I think is the most disappointing part, because they lost one player. You wouldn't think that losing one player would be as catastrophic as it is, but maybe it has been. So that, to me, I guess I would say Iowa is very clearly the most disappointing, but Northwestern's a good example of somebody else, potentially.
Cedar Rapids has two local drivers on the NASCAR scene. Good news earlier in January here, Joey Gase going to drive the number 35 on the Xfinity Series, and still hanging out there, Landon Castle, huh?
Yeah, no word yet. I know there's been, he's in some discussions with some different teams, nothing firm or official yet. I mean, it's getting closer and closer to Daytona. It's a tough ask right now, and especially in the Cup Series, because so many teams have gone young, and I know Landon's not, he's not old by any means, he's 28 years old, but, when the top level rides are all taken and even the mid level rides have guys with money, it becomes harder and harder for somebody like Landon to find a good quality job. I mean, there's plenty of places he could go, and just sort of fill out the field. But you know, he doesn't want to do that, and nor should he have to. He's been a contract driver his whole career. He's not had to bring money, and that's sort of what's left him in this situation, because he's not, unfortunately, not had the chance to prove what he believes is his talent, at the, you know, to be able to compete at a high level with a top team. And until you've done that, it's just hard to, you know, worm your way into a high quality ride. It's just an unfortunate reality of the business as it stands right now.
You think we'll see Lannon at Daytona?
I think at Daytona, yes. I would be willing to put my money on that as it stands right now. But in terms of a full time deal the rest of this year, that's still way up in the air. He's still searching and still talking to people and trying to find something that's going to be quality and put him in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's a situation at this point, and he's, like you said, only 28, and he doesn't want to just drop back to the Xfinity Series, because the chances of getting back up, unless you do something really, really crazy in Xfinity, the deck is stacked against you a little bit.
Well, I think he would be very willing to drop to the Xfinity Series, and if it was a high-quality ride where he could compete for, you know, top tens and potentially a playoff spot.
But those are gone, too, now.
Well, right. I mean, he wants to race cars. That's his Twitter shtick over the last couple of days is, would you be willing to drive this or that? And, you know, the jokes are that he'd be willing to drive anything, because he just wants to race cars. He's a guy who loves the sport, but he's also been smart with his money. You know, he's not overspent. He's not overextended himself. He doesn't have a private jet. You know, he takes care of himself and his family. So if this is it for him, then we'll probably see him at Hawkeye Downs. So, you know, he's a smart guy, and he knows what he's worth. He knows what his talent is. And, you know, if this is in fact it, I don't think it is, but if this is it for him in NASCAR, he gave it everything he could, and it's commendable what he's been able to accomplish in NASCAR.
Yeah, absolutely. To even get that far is a very, very big feather in his cap here. And this is the unofficial start of the racing season, you know, coming up this week. And it's a good thing Iowa doesn't play, so now you can concentrate on the Chili Bowl this week.
That's right. I got to get my pay-per-view subscription.
No, you don't even need that. Saturday.
Is it going to be live on Saturday?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's
on free. So,
helping me out. Thank you, Scott Unesh.
Yeah, well, I'll get you some more details as we get closer. But, yeah, love the Chili Bowl. It is a great way to kick it off. Hey, Jeremiah, appreciate it. And keep up the great work at the Gazette. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
All right, Jeremiah Davis. Follow him on Twitter. Also follow him at thegazette.com. That is the indoor midget car race. You got Kyle Larson. You got a bunch. That's great, because you got all the USAC guys. You got some, NASCAR guys. You got some. Everybody from each shtick as far as racing comes together, because they all want to race in this thing.
Does this conflict with the NFL playoffs?
Wow, it's been going all week at the Tulsa Expo Center.
You talk to me like I know this.
I'm trying to help you out,
Mark. I don't know a damn thing about it.
I'm trying to help you out at this point.
Thank you.
All right. Take a break, come back, we'll assemble the panel, get to the pick six right after this here on KGYM.
Learning where your DNA comes from with 23andMe.com might just inspire you to explore your connection to the world, like Kate. 45% of Kate's DNA is from the British Isles, so she took a little bike trip through Scotland. And 10% of her DNA is from North Africa, so she paid a call to Morocco. Order a DNA kit with 23andMe.com today and let your 23 pairs of chromosomes show you another way to experience the world. Get over 75 reports on ancestry, health traits, and more at 23andMe.com.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I feel like I'm on top of the world.
Disclaimer, you will not be transported to the top of the world. In the unlikely event you find yourself at the Arctic Circle, seek shelter from the elements immediately to avoid frostbite and or hypothermia. GEICO will not be responsible if you find yourself in a cave or crevasse with a lonely, abominable snowman, who in all likelihood will force you to play games including but not limited to Go Fish, Charades, Chinese Checkers, or his personal favorite, Red Rover, Send Yeti On Over. GEICO is not liable for any damages, either physical or emotional.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Have you seen the Johns lately at TCB Pool Hall? No, not the two guys at the bar. I'm talking about the restrooms. No joke, 5 stars. But enough about that. TCB is a pool hall with 10 full-size tables you can rent by the hour, so you can play as long as you want. There are always interesting drink specials. I mean, you've got to have something to sip on between shots, right? Play pool, drink cold beer, use the John at TCB Pool Hall on the Pedball next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with an 11% rebate on everything. Brighten your home with long-lasting, energy-efficient LED bulbs. Right now, all stock Fight Electric LED bulbs are on sale. A 4-pack of LED general-purpose bulbs in soft, white, or daylight are $3.55 after rebate. Stop waiting and start saving with an 11% rebate on everything now at Menards. Good through January 13th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Back at 3:50 here on the Gym Class, KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, and the panel ready for the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6, brought to you by Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub, Highway 1 West in downtown Iowa City. And we will ask for participants coming up a little bit later on, and your chance to win a $30 gift card to Carl and Ernie's. If you are the man or woman that hitches your wagon up to the correct prognosticator, and Mark, I believe that was yonder Alex Kuhn last week.
Yes, it was.
Go figure.
Way to go, Mel Kuhn Jr.
I tanked during all of bowl season. I thought I was going to go into a further losing skid, and for some reason, I thought I was going to go 0-6 last week, but would I go 5-1?
Yeah.
Okay.
5-1. Very good. Our Poobah is back after a week off.
You know, the fastest way to get me into the studio is to talk about bowls of chili. I was half listening and I heard bowl, chili bowl, and I thought somebody was sharing a recipe.
The chili bowl. Usually we have chili during the
you
chili
beans
bowl.
Or no beans, Todd?
I can go either way.
Oh.
I am not, now, if I were a native Texan, I would probably choose that hill to die on, that you do not include beans in your chili, but...
Okay.
Can go either way on it. Yeah. Can go
chili's
either way
delicious.
Might make a poll question one of these days.
It's not on the diet. Oh, we can do 45 minutes on beans or no beans in the chili. If you listen to yesterday's Hour Zero, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I think you confused people yesterday with that. But at any rate,
that was the point. I don't want them listening to it. They missed it live.
We are not here to confuse.
We're here to win somebody a $30 gift card to Carl and Ernie's. We're going to start, Alex, with a home underdog. Philadelphia is getting 3 points at the Link. They host Atlanta this weekend.
I like Atlanta. I just don't trust Nick Foles as a quarterback in the playoffs. I thought that Atlanta showed me something last week in L.A., and they're going to do it once again against a team in Philadelphia that's not experienced in the playoffs. So give me the Falcons.
All right. We have Sean with us. Sean's ready to go. Pick some games. How you doing,
hey guys,
Sean?
How you doing?
Great. What do you think about this one?
I'll have to agree with Alex. I'll take Atlanta.
Give me a home dog and 3 points? Yeah, I'll take those Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, everybody likes Atlanta, and that's why I'm going to hop on Philadelphia.
Kyle.
Yeah, I feel bad because at one point I really thought Philly was the team to beat in the whole league, but that Wentz injury just sucks.
You didn't hear he's coming back?
That would be great. But I'm going with Atlanta.
Todd.
Yeah, I don't want to bite here. It's the playoffs. You're giving me points on a team at home. Go ahead and give me an Atlanta, although take that team out of the dome and put them outdoors in what's going to be a cold situation. Who knows? Anything could happen. I'll go with the favorite here, though, on the road. Now, here's a big one. New England, a 13.5-point favorite at home over Tennessee. Sean.
I'll go with the Patriots.
Smart man. They're not playing the Chiefs this week. I'll take the Patriots. They may win by 3-4 touchdowns.
You can watch your recording of the Tonya Harding story by halftime. Give me New England.
You're really on that Tonya Harding thing today, aren't you? Kyle.
I mean, that is really a lot of points. Tennessee's not good. There's not a doubt in my mind that New England wins this game, but I'm going to go ahead and take Tennessee to keep it a little bit close.
Lots of distractions around this Patriots team. Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels looking to interview. You had the ESPN bombshell. None of it matters. RJ Bell at pregame.com sent over a little nugget earlier today. The last 7 double-digit favorites in the NFL playoffs have all covered. And we'll make it 8. NEP. Not enough points? New England Patriots? Coincidence? I don't think so.
Ooh, like that.
I feel like Las Vegas wants me to take Tennessee here. And I remember last year when everybody jumped on the Patriots when they played Houston. And if the Texans had anybody other than Brock Osweiler as their quarterback, they would have kept it close. But I got to take the Patriots. I don't think that it's going to be much over that 13.5, but I guess I'll take them to cover.
Anthony and Marion on the text line. This is for Kyle. The chance at Philly dominance came and winced.
I see where he went there.
Were we going to pick the over-under in this Tennessee game?
That's what we're picking right now. Okay, Scott Unash, 48, over-under 48 points in New England and Tennessee.
Give me under. Mark? He's thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking 31-10, under.
It's going to be so one-sided. I don't think you're going to get enough out of Tennessee. Got to go with the under.
You took Tennessee.
31-10 is exactly the score that I am envisioning in my head for this one. I'm going to take the under as well.
I'll go on over, Island.
Sean, over, under.
I'm going to take the over as well.
All right.
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh hosting Jacksonville this weekend, and the Steelers, Mark Dukes, are favored by a touchdown.
The Steelers can be really quirky, can't they? But I like them in this game by maybe 10.
Kyle.
Oh, I keep forgetting I'm after Mark.
You're after Mark.
I like the matchup here. I like Jacksonville a lot. Going to go with Jacksonville to keep it close.
Blake Bortles cannot get any respect. He is the Rodney Dangerfield of NFL quarterbacks this season. He's had a pretty good year. I see a lot of people riding Pittsburgh, but I will take Jacksonville to lose this game by less than 7 points. Pittsburgh will win, but keep her close. That's all I ask.
Mel?
I think there's a little bit of revenge factor in this game. If you remember, Jacksonville kicked around Pittsburgh earlier in the season, and I don't think that the Steelers are going to take this one lightly. I think it'll be fairly close, but Pittsburgh covers.
That too.
Sean?
I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to take the Jags.
Drama all over New England. Drama all over Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh loves drama. Steelers will roll in this one. Game five,
my Minnesota Vikings. If you've listened to the program, you know that I'm all aboard the Minnesota bandwagon at this point. Minnesota, Skull. Me and Ragnar, buddies, hanging out, drinking Grain Belt, rooting for the Vikings. Bud Grant, all that stuff. Minnesota, a 5-point favorite over the New Orleans Saints this weekend. Kyle?
I do like Minnesota. There's a lot of hype around them right now, but I think New Orleans is going to make a real run at the Super Bowl. Give me the Saints.
Well, I'm rolling with Minnesota. I let the cat out of the bag there. I'm all in.
You're
Vikings
telling me
nation.
That you're giving me Drew Brees, one of the best running games in the league, although they weren't very good in the wild card round. And a very much improved defense over and 5 points with Case Keenum as the quarterback on
Nothing
the other side.
Nothing bad ever happens to the Vikings in the postseason, though.
Vegas is trying to trick me. Give me the Vikings.
Oh, look, I wrote.
Yeah. It's a weird line.
Wrote you the other
way. See, that's why you never write until the pick is made, Scott.
My bad.
Sean.
You guys cut out there for a little bit. What's the pick?
Minnesota and New Orleans. The Vikings are a 5-point favorite.
I'm going to pick the Vikings big.
Vikings big. No.
It's not a wrestling duel. There are no bonus points for riding time here.
Kamara, Breeze, the New Orleans Saints indoors. I like New Orleans.
Exactly what Alex said. He reneged on his own logic.
It's a gym class special here.
New Orleans, please.
It is.
Oh, I like it.
How about 46? That's the magic number in this one, over, under. And you know what? I'm going to take the over on 46.
Since I picked Minnesota, I think it's going to be a slugfest, and their defense is going to control this game. So I'm going to go with the under.
Sean.
I'm going to go with the over.
Sean likes the over. I'm going over, too.
I'm going over as well.
I'm going over as well.
Alex is on under island. Our tiebreaker this week, Alex, we'll go back to you here. You talked about Drew Brees and New Orleans, that offense. Drew Brees' passing yards against a very stout Minnesota defense will be the tiebreaker this week. What you got?
I think they're going to be playing from behind, so he'll rack up some garbage passing yards. I'll go with 265.
Sean, what do you think?
I'll go with 241.
297. I have no idea why.
277.
They don't have to rely on Drew Brees airing it out as much as they used to. I'm going to go ahead and go with 260.
You fall out of bed in the NFL and throw for 250 nowadays.
I will. There was a good TV show back in the day. I had Jack K. Harris in it. Do you remember the name of that TV show, Scott Unash? Be 227, right?
Yes.
Go ahead and give me 227. We'll take six callers, 319-366-1600. Choose one of the panelists, and whoever did the best job of picking games this week is going to hook you up with a $30 gift certificate to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City. Six callers, 319-366-1600.
Hey, Sean, appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. And give us a call right now, 319-366-1600. And you've got one of the Hawkeyes that's going to be looking at the NFL coming up on the show today, correct?
Yeah, James Daniels is stopping by at 6 o'clock. We're going to catch up with Iowa assistant basketball coach Sherm Dillard after last night's 104-97 win over Illinois. A little love it or leave it. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. Plenty to get to over the next 3 hours.
The Brommel Camp House is on the bus trip now.
The Chili Bowl.
The Chili Bowl.
Yeah, the 25 minutes, bus trip.
25 minutes devoted to Dick Trickle and the Chili Bowl. May he rest in peace.
Very
driver
much
of the Pabst
so.
Blue Ribbon car.
Very much so. All right. 319-366-1600. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will talk to you tonight at Prairie for Prairie Juan Luis Basketball coming up 1600 a.m. at 7:30. Stay tuned. Todd Rommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up next.
The 4 for 4 from Wendy's has a lot of fans because it's a deal that gives you a sandwich plus 4 nuggets, a small fry, and drink all for just $4. But now the 4 for 4 has more variety than ever with 8 sandwich choices.
I'm loyal to the double stack.
I'm junior bacon cheeseburger through and through.
I pledge myself to the crispy chicken sandwich.
I'm loyal to my hunger.
Whether you're loyal to one sandwich or all 8, the Wendy's 4 for 4 has a sandwich for you. So try them all and pick your favorite. Now that's deliciously different.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Get organized inside and out at the Store More, Save More event going on right now at the Home Depot. Give the garage a heavy-duty decluttering with the Home Depot's HDX 27-gallon Tough Totes. They're a special buy at just $8.97 each. They're tough enough to handle your heaviest stuff, all of it. Storage needs come in all shapes and sizes. So do storage solutions at the Store More Save More event, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through February 4th, available in store and online while supplies last.
Learning where your DNA comes from with 23andMe.com might just inspire you to explore your connection to the world, like Kate. 45% of Kate's DNA is from the British Isles, so she took a little bike trip through Scotland. and 10% of her DNA is from North Africa. So she paid a call to Morocco. Order a DNA kit with 23andMe.com today and let your 23 pairs of chromosomes show you another way to experience the world. Get over 75 reports on ancestry, health traits, and more at 23andMe.com.
Whew, sorry I'm late. Ready to tee off?
Dude, you're glowing gold.
Yeah, I stopped by Shell on the way to the course and got rewarded with instant gold status.
Cool. Does it do anything?
Yeah, it saves me 5 cents per gallon on every fill every day.
Whoa.
And it crushes the long ball. Watch this. Nope, it just saves at Shell.
Get rewarded at Shell when you join the Fuel Rewards program now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons per transaction at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on NASCAR News now.
The 2018 class of the NASCAR Hall of Fame is going to be inducted next Friday night in Charlotte, North Carolina, with the five legends including Red Byron, Ray Evernham, Ron Hornaday Jr., Ken Squire, and Robert Yates. Here's Ray Evernham on whether or not he revolutionized the modern pit crew.
I think I was maybe responsible for bringing it a different level. You've got to go all the way back to the Wood Brothers when you look at the modern day pit crew and the focus on how important it was to shave those seconds off. You know, those guys started it. Everybody else since then has pretty much just developed it and reworked it, have pit crew coaches and trainers, and I think we might have been the first team to have a set athletic trainer and things like that over at Hendrick. It without a doubt has brought the sport to a different place. I don't want to say a different level, but it's just an area of competition that it created is very important to how you can, whether or not you can win a race or championship.
Did you know there's only 36 days until the 2018 Daytona 500, and even less if you consider cars hitting the racetrack with speed weeks and the Clash happening week before that? To be honest, this offseason flew by, didn't it? I mean, I still recall Martin Truex Jr. taking the checkered flag in that thrilling battle with Kyle Busch at Homestead Miami Speedway. And here we are just days away from Daytona.
The Final Lap.
When you have your own restaurant, you have to get your hands dirty. Literally. Like, right now, I'm unclogging my grease trap. I also print my own menus every day, so I rely on Staples for great deals on ink. I mean, I can't afford to run out, like my last three busboys.
Right now at Staples, buy one HP ink and get the second 30% off, so you can afford to stock up, because you can't afford to run out.
Oh, good. My sous chef just quit.
Visit Staples today and keep your ink stocked and your business moving. Ends 1/13/18. See store or staples.com for details. Restrictions may apply.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, are you just going to stand there and let people not give you credit for being a good driver? You deserve discounts on car insurance, and that's what Snapshot from Progressive is for. So why aren't you signing up? You need music to get pumped? Hit it! Drum solo!